This is Near FM
90.3.
Former academic Alan Tuffrey. Alan, sorry for the delay in coming to you today, but I just thought it was important to get as much information in that last segment as possible. So, again, apologies.
Not at all, Donny. I was listening for once. I managed to listen this morning, and it was most enjoyable. I could have listened to it longer rather than listening to me, but I'm sure Kathleen will agree with it and say everything I say is right again.
Yes, anyway. Yes. What is the man is in the ad on the radio says, my wife says I have a PhD in always being right.
Yeah, but the wife is always right, though. Yeah.
Yes. Or the other one I saw in a kitchen one time, I am master of my own house, and therefore what my wife says shall be done.
Correct.
Alan, we digress, because we are going to talk about holidays and the concept of holidays, where they came from. And I suppose, Alan, starting off with the fact that holidays were not always there. People just got up, went to work, came home, ate their dinner, went to bed.
Yeah, I mean, in days when most people lived on the land and worked with agricultural-related jobs, I suppose, a couple hundred years ago, agricultural labourers don't get a lot of time off. They certainly don't get to take 2 weeks off at a stretch, which is the sort of pattern for many people nowadays. I guess you had agricultural labourers had relatively quiet times in the winter, and Christmas and New Year, I guess a bit after harvest. The way I came at that question was, when did agricultural labourers get time off? I thought, when are the festivals in the year? When do people have their ritual customs like the Ran, St. John's Eve customs down in Kerry, I believe, and various other customs around these islands, which are associated with particular times of year, but many of them with the winter, and it's not much fun being out and about. But that was the time when I guess there wasn't quite so much agricultural work to do, and it was probably too unpleasant to be outside much of the time anyway. You don't really get, I think, organised holiday periods until we got proper industrialisation, early industrialisation, when the big factories opened, and factory owners were quite happy to work people for 18 hours a day for little wages, of course. And we all know enough of our 19th century industrial history to know that where that all led and the revolutions that took place there. And they didn't get much in the way of holidays. Used to get maybe one day off at the weekend. Shops probably only had one day. There used to be half days for shops. Oh, I remember half days. It was Tuesday in my town, which was very unusual.
And it used to be Wednesday down my way. And then I think we got very high tech then. We had a half day on a Wednesday and a half day on a Saturday.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah. Well, I think that, my father-in-law had a serious ironmonger shop. Not a hardware shop, an ironmonger shop, that you could buy the loose screws and everything else in a wonderful shop. He, I think, had a half day, and Saturday was a half day as well. So he might have been delivering marmalade cutters or lawnmowers or something on one of the half days, but that was it. But then the factories came in, and people got the fortnight's holiday entitlement. Now, I couldn't tell you when that came in. I'm not a social historian. Somebody will tell us. It came in, and I recall my father worked in a factory, and he had, these are the 2 weeks you'll take. They're around the English bank holiday weekend. That was the week. That was your 2 weeks, as it was for most other people, which, of course, is...
And would that have been, Alan, because I know traditionally in Ireland, when I was young, it was known as the Builder's Holiday, and later became known as... It was the first 2 weeks in August, am I right?
I think that was right, yeah. That would be right. Yes, I think so, yeah.
And there is one other thing, like, which, and I know you know what the answer to this is, but where school holidays came from, and a lot of people may not be familiar with this, but again, coming from rural Ireland and being familiar with farming, and way back when, the school holidays were designed to coincide with the time when most work was being done on the land, so that the children in school could actually help out. That's where they came from.
Yeah, and I think that's still the case. Because in Scotland, They have very different school holidays. I think they have an end of term in October. Now, I'm still trying to get my head around that, and our son has been teaching in Scotland for about 10 years now. But it's something to do with one of the harvests around, that there's some late harvest, either whether it's potatoes or something else. But they have this late holiday, or perhaps it's an early half term for the potatoes or something. Anyway, it's agricultural based. Yeah, you're quite right, because agriculture was the dominant industry, I guess, when schooling first came in any organised way. So, but you get the holiday. But then you the workers, like my father, you didn't get a choice of your holiday. You couldn't take a couple of weeks off whenever you liked or use your holiday. Many workers now, including myself, being an academic outside teaching term, you could pretty well do what you like. There was an official holiday entitlement, which sometimes you had to register for and sometimes you didn't. Probably much more strict nowadays. But you take your time off. But the great thing about being an academic, as a wise man said many years ago when I was a young academic, is very difficult to describe, to determine absence in an academic. Because in those days, we all had an office. Nobody knows what you're doing in your office. You could be doing nothing. You could be ordering your online shopping or putting bets on or whatever. And the fact that you're not in your office doesn't mean you're not working either. I mean, if I had serious hard work to do, something serious to write and to think about, I'd very often say, look, I'm going to be at home because I need to get this written. And the only way I can do it is to stay at home. So the phone doesn't ring and nobody knocks on the door. And that's what you would do. So defining absence in academics was herding cats and all the rest of it. So
puts me in mind of a story of a friend I met a number of years ago, and both of us worked in a rather large state organisation, I will put it that way. But he gravitated towards the office side of things.
Yes.
9 to 5, Monday to Friday, sort of an administration role. And I remember meeting him one day as he went around in his suit and tie. And I said, how are you surviving in here? Well, he said, you know something? It's the best move I ever made. I come in at 9 o'clock in the morning and I go home at 5 o'clock in the evening. And if I do something during those times, fine. If I don't want to, it's no problem. And I said, how do you get away with that? I'll tell you what the secret is. A brown folder and a worried look. And the worried look is fierce important, because if you have a worried look, it appears like you have a problem.
Yeah,
and nobody's going to ask you what you're doing or what's wrong, because it could become their problem then.
Yeah. Oh, that's and a full in tray and a full out tray. Yeah, there are all sorts of dodges like that. I can remember a fellow I knew, I was doing my PhD at the time, and he'd not long finished his PhD. But he also had a couple of children fairly close together. And you know what it's like when you've got young kids? You don't get enough sleep. So he would go into the lab and he said, oh, I really got to get my head down for an hour. And he went into he used to go into the back of the lecture theatre and he'd lie down on the back seat of the lecture theatre. These raked, old-fashioned rake theatres. And he woke up at about 5 o'clock to find the boss, the head of department, the prof, giving a lecture. And so he couldn't move for the next hour. He had to stay there. But he occasionally slept under a bench or something too. And he used to take a pencil down. So I'm just getting my pencil brush, you know. And this sort of, oh.
Alan, because of the earlier interview, we're a bit tight for time today. So I just want to talk to you about different things. And I'm going to ask you an intriguing question now. And this could be maybe taxing a little bit, and crystal ball, et cetera, et cetera. Put yourself... Or no, I don't do it that way. I'll do it this way. Your father, Lord rest his soul, is now standing in front of you, having, as you said, the experience of working many, many, many years ago in the factory setting, where you were told, right, you're on holidays for those 2 weeks and that's it. You're finished here at 5 or 6 o'clock on a Friday. You're going to be back here at 7 or 8 on Monday, two weeks.
That's right.
And then he's standing in front of you today, and you're explaining to him, like, about... You know, there's a good deal going there now in Lanzarote in 2 weeks' time. I think I'll book that and take a week off to do that. And I'll take a winter week as well later on. What do you think his reaction would be, trying to...
Yeah, I could see his face. All right, keeping his dead at the end of 30 years. He made 90 though, Donny. I think he would be incredulous. I think he would say, God, that's pretty amazing. You can do that. Yeah, he became quite a decent traveller after he retired, actually, until his health got a bit dodgy. My parents were very quick onto some of the first early relatively cheap flights, you know, the package tours and things like that. They used to get off to Ibiza before it became the place it is now, or it was until the present unpleasantness. Yeah, I think he would be surprised, the degree of flexibility. Now, my flexibility was probably extreme in that I had practical choice of whenever I liked, outside, pretty well outside term time. I could take chunks of time off up to my leave entitlement, which was generous. And so I would say rightly so, wouldn't I? It's nice to have the flexibility. I believe in Canada, everybody gets what they call mental health days, 10 mental health days in a calendar year, which you must take off. And that's to give you a break from work. And you are compelled to take these off. It sounds very Canadian to me, but quite a delightful idea. And as I've said to you before, being retired, you don't get any time off. So you have to organise it. If you want to take any time off, you've got to say, right, I'm not working for the next N days. But it can be difficult.
And of course, Alan, there are different types of holidays as well. There's, you know, when you talk about holidays, people think, as you say, like jetting off to the sun. But I mean, there's a kind of what I used to refer to many years ago when the kids were young as sort of the compulsory holiday, where you'd have to take a week somewhere along the line and drive down the country to see the parents and bring the kids and all this.
The
neighbours think you're going on holidays, but in fairness, they're fairly stressful holidays now, them can be.
Oh, they certainly can. As people will have gathered, I'm from the friendly kingdom adjacent. And when we were first here, we had two small kids at that time, about 5 and 3. And we used to be going back and forth every summer. And the Christmas holidays, oh, Donny, a nightmare. I think one Christmas we did about 1,000 miles over a few days at Christmas. Went to see my parents in one end of the country, or the middle of the country, and my wife's parents in the northwest. And we were up and down. And after a couple of years of this, we said, hang on a minute, this isn't right. We're rushing off here. And travel at Christmas is a nightmare anyway. You don't always get to the place you want to get to either. And you get to one place and go to another. And it was all this rushing around. You had a car full of stuff going and a bigger car full of stuff, or at least more stuff in the same car coming back. And there was not a lot of pleasure. And we said, we're not getting any Christmas traditions of our own. We have to stop this. So we just said, look, sorry, we love you dearly, but if you want to see us at Christmas time, we have an open door. You can come any time.
And I have been that soldier, Alan.
Yeah.
You need a holiday after that holiday.
Exactly. Glad to get back to work. Yeah, you are, because you're dealing with other people all the time. It's not much of a break. You need to find a way of having a break. I think holidays, the old-fashioned expression that used to be used was recreation or recreation, emphasizing that you were renewing yourself and refreshing yourself. If the holiday is harder work than being at work, then maybe you're not doing it right. And I think it's a change of routine. I think slowing down is a really important part of holidays. If you're racing around all the time, fine. Some people like to do that. They like to go climbing Kilimanjaro or walk a Camino or two. That's fine too, but Camino is that's kind of a leisurely activity in one way. Then I think that's fine, but a mixture is good. Now, these days, when we have a holiday, we normally take about 10 days away. And we used to go to Italy, and we would explore one Italian city for 2 or 3 days. And we do the usual wandering around and touristy things and whatever else, taking our time with plenty of gelato and the odd dinner here and there and lunchtime and so on. And then we would repair to a place with friends where we would be very quiet all the time. And in my own occupation was mainly keeping an eye on the scenery in case it moved or got otherwise distracted. And I did a lot of that. I did some work as well, and some reading and occasionally thinking. So being slow, thinking again about this, I remembered an old phrase, which you might remember. I'm half got a bet with myself that you know where it comes from, because I don't. Somebody said, sometimes I sits and thinks, and sometimes I just sits. And there's a lot to be said for just sitting occasionally and just take it easy.
It sounds very like something Mark Twain would come out with.
I think it's certainly American. Yeah, I think it's that sort of, what do you call it, cracker barrel wisdom or something. Yeah, it's very much of that kind. Yes, I don't think it'll be far along. Mind you, there's a fair chance if you look it up, it'll be down as Mark Twain, because if it's not Mark Twain, it's probably Shakespeare, between the two, or Oscar Wilde. They seem to have said almost everything.
Yes, indeed. Oscar Wilde said, just be yourself, everybody else is taken.
I like that. Yes, I did.
Another one I think you would enjoy that is attributed to him is, he said, some people spread happiness wherever they go. Other people spread happiness whenever they go.
Yeah. It's a smell of the lamp a bit, don't they? You think he was up late at night working these out.
Alan, it has been a pleasure for the season so far. We are taking our customary August break. We will catch up with you, I think, without checking the calendar, the 6th of September.
I think that's the first Monday,
You
say.
We will part company. Alan Toffrey, until I talk to you again. Thank you so much, sir.
Take care, Donnie. Bye-bye.
This is Near FM.
90.3.